it. This is that.
Good morning. Welcome, everyone. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. We've got a packed house. We've got a long agenda ahead of us today, so I'm going to go ahead and get started and turn the floor over to my colleagues for any opening comments. Madam Treasurer?
Governor, it's good to be here.
Good to be here with you. Mr. Comptroller?
Thank you, Governor, and Madam Treasurer, good morning. Yesterday, day before yesterday, marked the beginning of this year's tax filing season. And once again, the dedicated men and women of my agency will work diligently to provide efficient and effective service to Maryland taxpayers. Last year, my office collected more than $16 billion in revenue, processed more than 3 million individual tax returns, and disbursed $2.6 billion worth of refunds in less than 3 business days. As part of our commitment to providing first-class service, we've hired additional staff, including 25 new employees, to work in our first remote call center in Salisbury on the shore, which we officially opened yesterday, to reduce call wait times and enhance the agency's ability to provide superior customer service. And over the next few months, my office will keep a watchful eye for fraudulent returns submitted by criminals who seek to compromise the financial integrity and security of innocent Maryland taxpayers. I'd like to once again personally thank Governor Hogan for agreeing to introduce my agency's Taxpayer Protection Act as part of his administration's legislative package. This critically important piece of legislation will strengthen my agency's ability to protect Marylanders from these increasingly sophisticated fraud schemes and go after the fraudsters who are becoming more brazen every day. Last week, my agency held our first-ever Taxpayer Security Summit in Baltimore. Madam Treasurer, I was so glad that you were able to attend. I'd also like to thank Mark Nugent for representing the Governor's Office. The summit highlighted the need for cross-sector collaboration and the need for tax administrators to have the appropriate statutory and legal powers to address these financial crimes. So I look forward to working with the legislature to enact these much-needed reforms to fight fraud and identity theft. And, Governor, let me just close by expressing my gratitude to the hardworking men and women of the Comptroller's Office for the exemplary public service they provide on a daily basis, whether it's protecting citizens from tax fraud or providing taxpayers with respect, responsiveness, and results. My team continues to go above and beyond to provide the best service to Marylanders. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you, Mr. Comptroller. I want to thank you for your leadership on the Taxpayer Protection Act. The Comptroller's been at the forefront of this issue, protecting taxpayers from and educating them about tax fraud. And I very much look forward to working with you to see if we can't get this vital legislation passed. So thank you.
And I'd like to thank you for inviting me to your summit. It was very enlightening and very helpful, and if there's a way to spread that message, I would be delighted to know.
I also gave the treasurer one of my medallions.
Yes, you did.
Wow. In front of the audience and the U.S. attorney and all these muckamucks that were there. And so...
Thank you.
Very good.
I wondered who it was actually meant for.
Well, I'm delighted you were there.
All right. We're going to go ahead and get started with the Secretary's agenda.
Good morning, Governor Hogan. Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, we have 14 items on the Secretary's agenda. There are 7 reports of emergency procurements. Item 14 is the proposed capital improvement program for the school construction. So we will hold that until after the whole meeting is over, but we will take your questions on the first 13 items and the emergencies.
I'd like to start, if we could, with item number 11. This is the Maryland Stadium Authority. It's requesting Board of Public Works approval to enter into an agreement with the Baltimore Ravens, which will provide enhanced game day amenities and infrastructure improvements at M&T Stadium. I see Dick Cass, president of the Ravens, is here with us. And if you could come forward and maybe say a few words. Just let me say while he's on the way up here that M&T Stadium was recently ranked the number one in the NFL for game day experience. So we're going to give him a round.
Thank you. Well, we're number one, but we want to stay there, so
right,
we're working
exactly.
hard to keep it going. So we've got a plan to spend $120 million over the next 3 years on various improvements at the stadium, and we've worked closely with the Maryland Stadium Authority to get it into shape, and we're ready to go. You'll see some improvements next season. So thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Go ahead, sir.
I wonder if your general counsel could come up, too.
Yes, please. Brandon.
Yeah.
Brandon Etheridge is our new general counsel. And he's worked on this as well. So we've worked on this together.
Yeah. Well, I'm very pleased to have President Cass and the general counsel Etheridge here. I want to echo what the governor said about this consumer group coming up with a new ranking.
We didn't actually pay them either.
Yeah, exactly. No, this thing has credibility, and it's as far as the fan experience, you, the Ravens, are, I think, distinguished for being number one in the NFL. And I will also mention, just because I know it's getting warmer these days, I believe the Orioles Stadium was voted number one in Major League Baseball.
It's true.
They're actually number one overall.
Nope, yep. Number one overall. But
we're very proud to have both the number one in the NFL, number one in the MLB, and number one overall. So Maryland ought to be pretty proud of its stadium. We're going to try to continue to make you the number one for fan experience. And the only thing besides these improvements that I can think of is just let's win some more games. And
that's a very good point.
Well.
Our fan ratings would go much higher if we won a few more games. There's no doubt about that.
All right. Well, thank you. We want to make sure you stay number one.
Are you going to look at all at the possibility of a retractable roof?
It's not. I don't think it's realistic. It's so expensive to do that. I don't think it's just not really feasible.
I have to tell you, the comptroller and I were among the half dozen Montgomery County legislators who supported the stadium. I still think it was an excellent move, but I really regret we did not do that at the beginning.
Well, you know, it's interesting when you look at the cost. Our stadium cost $220 million to build. When we finish this new capital improvement program, we will have put another $220 million into the stadium on improvements. But when you look around the country right now, the stadium in Atlanta is approaching $2 billion. The stadium in L.A. is $2 billion. Jerry's World in Dallas is about $1.3 billion. Meadowlands is $1.7 billion. So it's hard to... Even in Meadowlands, it does not have a roof over it. So the costs really begin to rise.
Well, it's a great stadium.
It is a great stadium. It's a great game day experience. It's a great place to watch a football game, and hopefully we'll have a few more concerts this summer.
Could you tell Mr. Bisciotti I'm glad he's writing a check for $120 million?
I will.
And he will be happy to have built the stadium, guess, with public dollars, but delighted to see him stepping up.
And it's really important to keep your stadium fresh and new and keep it a good place to come.
Yeah, but it's unusual to have someone of his stature and acumen step up and say, I'm going to put my own money into
it. It's a
this.
Commitment to Maryland. You know, at the same time, we're spending $45 million to improve our facility in Owings Mills. So it's a major commitment we're making to the state of Maryland. So thank you very much.
I don't want to give you any heads up on how we might vote on this.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much. I'd like to move to item A7.
That is an emergency report from really the Department of General Services Secretary Churchill talking about the county lease that we discussed last week.
This is the Department of Human Resources lease in Frederick County, and I know we have representatives from both departments here, but just talk about updates on where we are in the plan from when we left at our last meeting.
I see the committee.
Yes, Assistant Secretary Winder, Scott Napier.
Good morning, Madam Treasurer, Governor, and Comptroller.
Good morning. So we're looking for an update from our last meeting as to the work that you did with the local government to try to address some of their concerns.
Yes. The very following week that we met, our Deputy Secretary Nelson Reichert attended with Deputy Secretary Gregory James a meeting in Frederick County with the county executive and Delegate Krim, as I understand it. I was not at the meeting, but I was told that there was a good discussion on transportation issues and analyzing what could be done by DHR to look at the programs and see if they could possibly do some satellite locations at other county offices. I know Deputy Secretary James is here. Good morning. might have more information than I do.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Acting Secretary James from the Department of Human Resources. As Deputy Secretary Napier mentioned, the Monday following our last Board of Public Works meeting, we had a very productive meeting in Frederick County. I had the pleasure of attending that. We met with the county executive as well as representatives from DGS, Department of Transportation, who's also here with us and can provide an update as well. We're not there, but they had been in constant conversation. And since that meeting, our local Department of Social Services has been in constant communication with the county executive's office, exploring a variety of different strategies that we can look at to mitigate any impact that this move would have on our clients, which is, of course, our primary concern. What we have come up with is a combined strategy of a number of things. But I also want to stress we want to see what the impact is going to be as we move through this transition. And so we're going to watch what strategies have worked. And if we need to alter our approach, we're going to do that. So we'll be watching not just for the first few weeks, but for the first couple of years to see what we're doing. So in anticipation of that move, we will have an extensive outreach campaign to our existing clients and our community partners to let them know about the new location, make sure they have that information. One of the other things we are planning to do is enhance the outreach that we already have to go out into the community and meet with our clients directly, especially those who may have transportation issues that would limit their ability to come into the department. And we are also going to be outstationing two computer kiosks along with scanners at the offices of two of our primary community partner organizations in downtown Frederick so that our clients can fill out their application for benefits there. We'll provide training and support to those organizations so that they understand. And as necessary, we'll adjust our staffing to support those activities. And our local director, Martha Sproul, is also with us here today. I'm sorry, Madam.
Let's wait until the MDA director addresses, then we'll bring the county folks up. Yeah. Thank you very much, Secretary James. Good morning, Paul Comfort with the MTA.
Good morning, Governor. Good to see you. Comptroller Francho, Treasurer Cobb, great to be with you. So we're happy that MDOT was able to be so responsive and nimble in helping to provide extra service. As you know, we have a program called the Locally Operated Transit Service, LOTS, where we help fund provide technical assistance to all the county transit systems in Maryland. And so we were able to work with them to provide basically, they already had a route that was going basically to this area, but we're adding an additional shuttle that will originate at the transit center in downtown Frederick at the Mark train station, where it can connect with seven other routes. And it would be bidirectional and provide a circulator service to connect with northbound and southbound stops. So we'll provide basically every 30 minutes. There'll be a bus going to the new DSS building. There'll be 22 stops daily northbound and 24 daily coming southbound. And we're able to do this by flexing federal funds and the local funds that Frederick had already put in to make this happen. So we're going to be able to make all this happen by July 1st when this starts.
Wow. Great. Well, thank you very much. Let's hear from the local folks, maybe. Maybe the county executive first. Should we do that? That's the right order. County Executive Gardner, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us today. I'll be quick. We did have a very productive meeting. I do want to thank you and your staff for really the great cooperation. While we still think having a downtown location would be ideal, we've made great progress to mitigate both transportation and trying to have an intake downtown in the city of Frederick. So as just told you, we do have an added shuttle every 30 minutes to the new location. We think that's very good. And I will say the Community Action Agency, which is actually a city agency, and the mayor did attend this meeting, they've also have a shuttle van, and they've agreed to provide some shuttle service in addition to that. So I want to thank the city and the Community Action Agency for that. We do have one other community request that is not agreed upon at this point, and that is for a small amount of paratransit funding, about $42,000, so that seniors and people with disabilities would have that option available. In terms of access to services in the core of downtown, DHR has offered us as many as 10 kiosks. Location support. We're going to start with two, one at the Community Action Agency and one at the Religious Coalition. They're both relatively close to the downtown location. Their staff, they do intake for other programs. We'll have training support from DSS. And I will say, in addition to that, the community does believe that there should be enhanced staffing to help, at least on a temporary basis, to help downtown residents transition to the new office. And so there is a request from the community for some additional staff report that is in the letter that has not been agreed to. We're going to do a survey. We're going to investigate telephone recertification of some of the services so people can do that remotely. And so all in all, I think we've had a very productive conversation, and we've made good progress, and we thank your staff and all of you at the Board of Public Works for your support.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Governor. Good morning. I wanted to thank you and also the other members of the Board of Public Works for supporting us in trying to mitigate this move. And it's going to be difficult, but I think, as the county executive has said, we have made great progress, and that is because of your staff, Governor, and of all the financial support that you're going to provide to us. So, we would request that you look at our other requests and consider them also. Thank you very much.
We certainly will. And I want to thank both you and the county executive for taking the time to come down and make us aware of the concerns and the suggestions for how we might mitigate some of the concerns. And you brought all these issues to our attention, so we appreciate that and your cooperation and working together. And I really want to thank you for saying it, but I want to say it too. I want to give a shout out to Secretary James and from MTA with Paul Comfort, from Secretary of DGS. Everybody, I think it's only been 2 weeks since we talked, and a lot of progress has been made. So I want to thank everybody involved, from the state, the county, and even the city and the local partners. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Could I just say, from what started as though it looked like it might be a very bad situation, I think this has developed into exactly the way the different governments should get together and work in order to solve a problem. I understand it's not entirely solved, but sometimes you have to let it go and see how things work out and then come back. But I'm just very impressed by the goodwill on and determination and joint purpose on everybody's part. And I think, Carol, in all candor, it wouldn't have happened if you all hadn't raised the issues.
We are very good collaborators in Frederick County, and we work for the best for our constituents.
I think it's a great example of all the different levels of government working together to get something done for the people. So thank you. I want to thank everybody. Thank you. Are there any other questions on the Secretary's agenda?
Yes.
Yes.
DBA.
Not yet. We're still on the Secretary's agenda. Any other questions other than item 18, which is the approval of the school construction capital improvement plan, which we'll be hearing testimony on and voting on separately today. So excluding item 18, are there any other questions on the Secretary's agenda? Is there a motion? Second, 3-0 on the Secretary's agenda. We're going to move on to DNR, real property agenda.
Good morning, Governor.
Secretary Belton, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. For the record, I'm Mark Belton, Secretary of the Maryland Department of Natural Resources. We have 7 items on our real property agenda for your approval this morning.
Okay. Any questions on DNR?
Move approval.
Second. You're off the hook. 3-0 on DNR. Up next, Secretary Brinkley, the Department of Business and Management agenda.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Comptroller, Madam Treasurer. I'm David Brinkley, Secretary of Department of Budget Management. We have submitted 13 items for today's agenda, and I have representatives here to address any concerns or questions.
I'd like to discuss item 2, if we could.
Item 2, Jamie.
So this is the state medical director contract, which was deferred by this board back in September, and I want to get a status update from the department on it.
Good morning, Governor. Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, for the record, Jamie Tomaszewski, Chief of Procurement for the Department of Budget and Management. We're pleased to present to the board for the board's approval today the new state medical director and occupational medical services contract. As you stated, this item was deferred from the September 7th board meeting. after hearing testimony from our incumbent, Concentra, that it was appealing DBM's award recommendation to WorkPro for the new contract. DBM extended the current contract with Concentra to allow time for the Maryland State Board of Contract Appeals to hold a hearing and make a decision as to the actions of DBM's procurement officer during the procurement for these services. All parties worked expeditiously at the Board of Public Works' request to submit all required documentations and reports prior to the hearing that was held for two full days on December 8th and 9th. The ruling by the Board of Contract Appeals was that DBM's procurement officer did not act in any way that was arbitrary, capricious, or contrary to the law or regulations. Furthermore, the board found that the procurement officer correctly determined that the recommendation of award to WorkPro was in the best interest of the state. So at this time, we're back to make that award approval, to get that award approval, and I'm here to answer any questions you may have.
So thank you very much. So this board voted to send it back to give them time to have their decision heard, their protest to be ruled on by the Board of Contract Appeals. The incumbent has since lost that protest at the Board of Contract Appeals. They had asked us to give them a chance to have their day in court, and this board did grant that request, and their case has now been heard, and the appeal was denied. And we now need to move forward with the approval of this contract that the board delayed last time.
Yes.
So any other issues or questions on this? Okay.
Thank you
very much. Any other questions on the DBM agenda? Is there a motion?
No, I have a couple of questions.
On item 8 and item 9, please.
Okay. Claudine Williams, Associate Director of HSCRC, for both items.
Good morning. My name is Claudine Williams. I'm the Associate Director of Data Management Administration. I have with me our Executive Director, Donna Kinzer, who's going to say a few words before.
Good morning.
Thank you and good morning. I'm Donna Kinzer, the Executive Director, and also Secretary Schrader is here with us today. We are working with the Secretary and DHMH to modernize the hospital payment and delivery system under a new waiver that brings $2 billion in federal dollars to Maryland. And we have several contract modifications today related to monitoring and policy development under that waiver, as well as modernizing some of our data and collection systems that have been in place for decades. And we appreciate the opportunity to present these items to you today. Ms. Williams.
Thank you. So the first one, 8, is for our LD Health. This contractor is assisting HSCRC leadership with analyzing and evaluating Maryland performance on our all-payer model, particularly around the total cost of care. During the SSS contract, the one that they are helping us with.
Let's just interrupt for one second.
I'm sorry.
And I don't mean to interrupt, but we do have a big schedule
going
to go on. And I appreciate the explanation, but I just had a couple of specific questions. And
Perfect.
I don't mean to cut you off because, you're right. This is taking a $3 million contract from the incumbent Social and Scientific Systems and giving it to two companies. And I have a couple of questions. Number one, apparently you're doing this because the incumbent company did not perform the work.
They failed. They produced reports for us that didn't add up, that didn't tie in. They did this repeatedly. I met with the executives from the company. We had a remediation plan. They failed in the remediation plan, and they continued to have turnover and produce people without supervision to do the work. So we're requesting to transition the work to two vendors that we're very happy with, who've done excellent performance for the state and who are doing it at a fair and reasonable rates, consistent with the rates or lower than the rates of SSS.
Okay, so that explains why, with the performance quality being very low by the incumbent, you waited until the last minute because you were trying to get them to remediate their poor performance. Okay, I can see that. Why do you enter in, though, to a 504% increase on one contract, 167% increase on the other? Why are those numbers so high?
So the work is split between two contractors, the reassigned work. The first one, LG Consulting, had a smaller contract with us, and they were helping us to actually supervise some of the work of the other contractor as we were preparing work for the commission. And so as we found that we needed to change contractors, they were performing extremely well and had access to our data sets, and they were the best vendor to take over some of the analysis. So that is why we chose to increase that Maryland small business contract significantly, and also to put some of the work, which is more routine in nature, with the other contractor.
So you believe, despite the significantly higher cost for the same service, that the taxpayers are getting a reasonable deal?
We believe that the cost is comparable for the same service. It's the same or lower hourly rates and the same amount for the time frame.
Okay, fine. Thank you for that. And then I had a question, Governor, on item 10. I think it's the same group.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm focused on you guys, but aren't you the people responsible for maintaining the waiver?
Yes.
Yeah. Tell me about that. That's pretty important, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. It's essential to maintain the waiver. It brings about $2 billion into the state of federal funds, and Governor Hogan just submitted a proposal to extend it for another 5 years to the federal government. So we are in a very significant period of change. It's good for Maryland citizens with the delivery system changes, and it's a very important to businesses in Maryland too.
Okay, so in this particular item, you're asking for a 2-year extension of a contract to the St. Paul Group for hosting and processing of data at a cost of more than $1.5 million. Why are you waiting until the last moment to do this?
So we had two option years with the St. Paul contract. In the last option year, we were going to bid out both the contracting, the processing and the hosting as we have now. In consultation with DoIt, they told us in September that they recommended that we separate those two contracts. And so in order to give us enough time to transition our large data sets to a different hosting firm and then procure for the processing as we normally would have done, we need that extra time to ensure that we don't lose that data.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you very much, Kevin.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I just ask a question? And I don't know if you're the ones to build on that. There are a lot of changes, potential changes regarding Medicaid, the waiver, who's going to be covered by what. Do you have a special unit in the department, or how are you keeping on top of how the changes in Washington from day to day are going to impact us?
We have a collaborative team that works with the Secretary's office. We have four different agencies in the state, and we all collaborate to monitor policy, and we meet with the Governor's office and the legislature to update them and to work with them relative to the policy changes and the rapidly changing environment.
Do you watch through the governor's office on the Hill?
We had a governor's office in Washington.
Yeah.
But we also had a really very productive 2 or 3 hour meeting with our entire delegation 2 days ago with all 8 congressmen and both senators to talk about a couple of priorities. This was the top of the list. And it's hard to speculate on what may happen and what changes are going to, but we're all on top of it, and our number one issue is to try to protect this waiver, which is, as was mentioned, is $2 billion for the state.
Yeah, well, and things seem to be moving so quickly and rather inconsistently, it's hard to know.
Well, we're just trying to stay on top of it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Any other questions on the DVM?
Yes. No. No.
Yes or no?
Let's see. No. All right. Got ahead of myself.
Okay. Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second. 3-0. We'll move on to the thank you. We'll move on to the university system agenda.
Good morning. Joe Evans representing the University System of Maryland. We have 8 items on the agenda. We are withdrawing item 1S mod, 2S, and 8RP.
Okay, thank you.
Answer any questions.
I just want to point out item number 7. I'm really happy to see the sale of this property, which I believe will help enhance our redevelopment efforts on the west side of Baltimore City. And I spoke with the mayor about this last night. You know, this project will complement right adjacent to, I believe, the Lexington Market redevelopment. And we're putting $2 million in funding in our capital budget to try to help with that. So I just wanted to give you a shout-out and say that I'm glad you're moving forward with this item. I don't have any questions. Any other questions?
Yeah, I would like to hold off on at least one of these construction risk and management proposals. I mean, I don't know whether my concern about whether the state's getting a good deal has resulted in this avalanche of requests to approve the very thing that I thought was going to be looked at. And so I'd like to delay some of these construction risk and management items, like item 3C, to find out what exactly the Gilbane Building Company, based up in Rhode Island, is going to be paid if we approve a $147 million building that they're the construction risk management folks for. Because it brings up my still unresolved issue that your system is overbalanced in these contracts. So here's a $147 million project. How much is, and when we approve this, that Gilbane is the construction management at-risk service provider, how much are we paying Gilbane for that out of this $147 million?
Their fee is for administrative fee for the CM is less than 1% of the total.
I'd like to see that in writing. And for the other contracts also, because that doesn't comport with exactly what some folks are saying about what the percentage is.
There was a meeting yesterday, Mr. Comptroller, between USM, DGS, and Lieutenant Governor. And it's my understanding that that was a very productive meeting about the CM process versus design, bid, build. And it was my understanding that the Lieutenant Governor was going to get with you to give you his observations of that meeting. I don't know.
I think actually that was the request that we made of them at the last meeting two weeks ago, and they followed through. I wasn't at the meeting, and neither one of us was, but we can certainly get that on the board and talk with them.
And with regards to item, I'm thinking you're talking about 3CBP. Uh-huh. This is for a bid packet. The board had already approved this contract. We're bringing a bid packet back now up under that approval.
Yeah, but it's not just that item. It's 4 other items on here that have got these things on them. I don't mind being briefed by the folks about the meeting, and if there's some resolution, terrific, because I'd love to see the design bid bill used more frequently. But it's the first I've heard of the meeting, and I'm just wondering if what bad things would happen if one or two of these were held up for a couple of weeks. Seriously.
What I would like to suggest, Mr. Comptroller, if I could, is to have the Secretary of DGS and the Lieutenant Governor, perhaps with the university, brief you on the last meeting, and then if there's an additional meeting, maybe the Comptroller and I will be invited to the meeting.
Sure. I mean, I'm happy to do
that. Rather than holding these projects up.
Okay. I will defer to the governor on that, but I look forward to the resolution of this
Yeah, I share the same concern, but I think let's sit down and talk about that without holding up these particular
But I'll listen to the voice of reason here.
I would point out that both Coalfield House, that was one of the ones that was mentioned, and the universities at Shady Grove are important buildings. They are in process. It's a process that is under scrutiny all the time, and I'm sure that it would be good to get a briefing on where we are with Coalfield House and Shady Grove and its buildings.
We can do that.
As well.
We can do that.
Mark, will you follow up to make sure we follow up to another meeting together? I want to thank you guys for following up so quickly from the last meeting, but we just didn't get the answer.
It's okay.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Joe. Any other questions on the university system? No motions?
Move approval.
Second? 3-0.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to move on to information technology.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Comptroller, Madam Treasurer. For the record, I'm Albert Bullock, Assistant Secretary at the Department of Information Technology. Today we have 6 items on the agenda. We are withdrawing items 3, IT mod, and 6, IT. And I have agency representatives here to answer any questions you have.
Any questions on IT? Your motion? Second. 3-0. We're going to move on to Department of Transportation.
Good morning, Governor.
Good morning.
Mr. Comptroller, Madam Treasurer. For the record, I'm Pete Ron, Secretary of the Maryland Department of Transportation. MDOT is presenting 4 items for your consideration today.
That big, huge department, you only got 4 items?
And I would add, Governor, that any questions you have might take us an hour apiece to be able to answer them. And
I just wondered if any questions you have might take an hour apiece. You're going to have to find a way to be a little more concise. But are there any questions?
Yes, I see Mr. Comfort standing there. If I could get him to just give us an update on the paratransit.
Yes.
On the on-call versus scheduling and whether Uber, wonderful company, providing employment for thousands and thousands of Marylanders, whether they're going to be able to participate in this program and what exactly the situation is with yellow transportation, taxi cabs, et cetera.
Very good.
And on-time service.
A great comprehensive question. Thank you, Mr. Comptroller. Great to be with you again today, Governor, Comptroller, Madam Treasurer, representing MDOT's MTA. We're very excited about the improvements that we've been able to make over the last 18 months at our paratransit services. As you know, when Secretary Ron and I got here, we were under a lawsuit. The paratransit services, which serve the most vulnerable citizens that we serve, were getting not very good service. We've been able to make dramatic improvements over that time. Part of it has been an improvement in our on-time performance. We are now, yesterday, I think we're at 97% on-time performance, hauling almost 10,000 passengers with disabilities. Some of the best in the nation, those numbers are. We're now answering our phones 77% of the time in 10 seconds, and we're meeting our standard 97-98% of the time answering the phones within 3 minutes on the reservations. People calling in, you might see today in the newspaper, in the Baltimore Sun, the folks that were suing the MTA and MDOT have settled the lawsuit. They're happy with the improvements we've made in the service. And as I mentioned, we're now leading the nation. We're being invited to national conferences to talk about how we've turned around services to people with disabilities here. And what we're doing today is we're asking you to extend the contract we have with our 3 service providers, TransDev, MV Transportation, and First Transit, the 3 largest companies in America that do this, for the final option year while we're ready to put an RFP on the street. We also had on one of the other agendas the Call-A-Ride service, and there is a Senate Bill 25 to allow us to even cut those costs even more by allowing us to use taxi cabs, as you mentioned, yellow taxi. The Call-A-Ride service is half the price of our traditional van service, and it is very popular with our passengers, and so we want to continue to do that as well.
Doesn't Call-A-Ride basically use taxi cabs now?
Well, there's a section in the law which says that taxi cabs are not considered public transportation. We need them to be allowed to be called public transportation so that they can officially be used. Right now, the RFP, as it's designed, is only for sedan service because we need that language changed. The Public Service Commission's done their part on the regulatory side of things. We just need that section changed. And actually, we have a hearing tomorrow?
Today,
that Jim's going to be testifying on in the Senate, Senate Bill 25, to have that. And we think that'll go a long way to helping us even improve services even more for people with disabilities with our paratransit.
Does the current service use sedans or taxi cabs?
We use sedans, and we officially use sedans. Car service.
That's terrific. And,
yes.
How much are these contracts for?
So the total amount is a little under $100 million, I think, for the extension. Let me take a look here. Yeah, $94,602,000, around $30 million to each of them. Paratransit service, as I'm sure you're aware, is the most expensive out of all the services that the MTA provides. And the costs are growing across the country, but we've been able to improve our service so much that actually ridership has increased as well. When we got here, we were having around 7,000 passengers a day. Now we're topping 10,000 passengers a day using this door-to-door service. We're the fourth largest paratransit service in the nation now in the Baltimore region. And this, again, is helping our most vulnerable citizens get to their appointments and to employment, et cetera. And we're happy that we've been able to improve service, but there are costs associated with that. More people want to ride it.
Good. And thank you for that. The charts you brought before were very persuasive, and the progress that you're making, because this area is the most complaint-sensitive service that government provides. People are understandably, on a very, very quick response when something doesn't happen. So the fact that you're able to, well, answer the phone is a big step forward. And what is the phone number?
That is a good question. I don't know that right off the top of my head, but I will email it to you as soon as I sit down.
Oh,
you know what? I would love to. Could I introduce our new director?
Absolutely.
So Marlon Bates and I go back a long way. We recruited him to work with us here at the MTA. Marlon's one of the leading national experts on paratransit service and has worked around the nation, came to us from Houston where he was helping to lead their paratransit service, and he has got our on-time performance numbers up from 94.95 to now 98% one of the days this week. Marlon, why don't you say a few words, brother?
Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Good morning.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, as Paul said, I mean, we are very proud of the progress we've made. We know there's improvements that in any agency or any service that you offer, there's services that can be made, but we're definitely on the right track. You know, the providers are working well with us. Lockstep. I have backgrounds with two of the three providers, know them well. I know their management staff. I know their culture, and we have the culture that they have works seamlessly with our culture, which puts safety first. We are working on efficiencies moving forward. We're working, of course, on making sure that we're reliable and making sure that the customer service is one of our primary goals as well. So I'm very happy to be here. I mean, it's one thing to learn it from the private side, but then to apply it on the public side has come full circle for me. So very grateful for this opportunity and look forward to continuing the progress and the great success that we've had to this point.
My definition of good government is answering the phone and being on time.
Yes.
And thank you for Mr. Comfort and also Governor Hogan. Frankly, you're this is your agency. But this is a government service which has suffered for many, many years from lack of management and administration. And the fact that you're able to make these improvements is, I've died and gone to heaven. This is good stuff. And,
well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, welcome to the team. Thank you for your joining us. And Mr. Comfort, thanks for all your great work. Appreciate it. Thank you. Any other questions on the DOIT agenda, or the transportation agenda? I'm sorry.
Move approval.
Second. 3-0 on transportation. We're going to move on to the Department of General Services.
410-764-8181.
Yeah,
I'm calling. MDOT wants to be responsive. 410-764-8181. Yeah, one more time.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. For the record, Ellington Churchill, Secretary of General Services. The department has 17 items on our agenda today, and we are withdrawing item 8RP, 10RP, 11LL, and 17CLG. And we have representatives available to answer any questions.
Any questions on DGS? Is there a motion?
I move approval.
Second. 3-0. Well, that concludes the first part of our little experience this morning. So thank you again for coming. We're going to take just a very short break in order to rearrange the room for our hearing on school construction and funding requests. And we'll be right back with you.